Good morning, everyone. That sounds a bit like school, doesn't it? No, we shall. Let's do something a little different this morning. What's special about today? No, it's not that I'm wearing a tie. What's special about today? Jesus is risen. Now, the church down the centuries has had a habit of, on Resurrection Sunday, shouting. Just like that. So, let's practice some words, shall we? When I say, Hallelujah, Christ is risen, your response is, He is risen indeed, Hallelujah. Okay? And what we'll do it three times. And we'll just gather intensity. So, first thing, I want you to stand if you're able, because standing is the posture of resurrection. No lying down this morning, no sleeping, no slouching. We're alive in Jesus, we stand in Him. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah!
Woo! Take your seats a moment. Yes. Give the Lord a hand. Who was here on Good Friday? I can see there are some hands with black wristbands. Can anybody, for the benefit of all, say what this speaks of? John. About the mystery of the cross, about the confusion, about the sense of what's it all about? Why has this had to happen? Any other thoughts? The black. How many threads are there?
The Holy Spirit, the
Trinity. Yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are involved in what's happening, in what seems such a tragic, dark, bleak, desolate moment. But for some of us, we've been wearing these bands to enter into the sufferings of Jesus and remind ourselves that He died for us. But today is the third day since those events. And the Bible says that Jesus has broken the chains that bound us. He has set us free. And He has cut and loosed the darkness that we might stand free in the light. Hallelujah. Who wants their band cut this morning? Come and, come and. Have you got one on, Margaret? Oh, well.
Be difficult, then.
What do you want cutting? Your hair? There you go. We are free people. Free in Jesus. And maybe you ask yourself the question, what are the bonds that you want the Lord to break in your life? Hallelujah. We're making a right mess, aren't we? Who's on cleaning this week?
Nobody was done
with it. I think it's me. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. I'm going to ask the musicians and worship leaders to join us. We're going to sing a medley of a couple of songs to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Now, some people, Alan, you've got a flag. Yeah. Have you got room to wave your flag without hurting others? If there's space at the front, if those who've got flags and it would like to come forward, we're going to rejoice in Resurrection Sunday. So let's rise and sing, See What a Morning, Gloriously Bright. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Do take your seats a moment. Let's come before the Lord with prayers of praise. Maybe you have a phrase that's come into your head or a sentence from one of the songs and you want to say, Lord, this is my praise. Let's give the Lord what's due his name. Father, we thank you that though Jesus was laid in a tomb, dead, yet by the Spirit on the third day, he was raised by the glory of the Father. And Lord, this morning we praise you for resurrection life and resurrection hope and resurrection joy and peace found as we encounter Jesus. Hallelujah. He is risen. Amen. I'm going to ask Adrian to come and share our first reading. And just a little explanation. There's a word that I would like you to use at strategic points. So Adrian, if you'd like to start reading.
The reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 1, finishing at verse 12.
When I raise this, you say the word that you see, okay?
Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. When they found the stone rolled away from the entrance,
amazing,
they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
Amazing.
And they did not know what to think. Suddenly, two men in shining white clothes stood beside them.
Amazing.
The women were afraid and bowed to the ground. But the men said, why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus isn't here. He has been raised from death.
Amazing.
Remember that while he was still in Galilee, he told you, the Son of Man will be handed over to sinners who will nail him to a cross. But 3 days later, he will rise to life. Then they remembered what Jesus had said. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women who were the ones who had gone to the tomb. When they returned, they told the 11 disciples and the others what had happened. The apostles thought it was all nonsense, and they would not believe. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he stooped down and looked in, he saw only the burial clothes.
Amazing.
Then he returned, wondering what had happened.
Thank you.
Thank you for this word.
So how was that story?
Amazing.
Okay, and our second reading, I've asked Emma to read to us. And I need a volunteer to lead us by example. A young volunteer. Was that you, Nathan, looking at me? Come and sit here. Nathan, you have a little project. When you listen carefully to the reading of Scripture, and you hear either the word living, alive, you need to stand up. When you hear the word life, stand up. When you hear the word die or death, sit down. Okay? And everybody who is able and willing must follow Nathan's cue. All right? Ready?
If our hope in Christ is good only for this life, we are worse off than anyone else. But Christ has been raised to life. And he makes us certain that others will also be raised to life, just as we will die. Because of Adam, we will be raised to life. Because of Christ, Adam brought death to all of us, and Christ will bring life to all of us. But we must each wait our turn. Christ was the first to be raised to life. And his people will be raised to life when he returns. Then, after Christ has destroyed all powers and forces, the end will come, and he will give the kingdom to God the Father. Christ will rule until he puts all his enemies under his power, and the last enemy he destroys will be dead.
Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. That's great. You can go and sit down over there. Yeah. We're going to sing again a great hymn. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon the throne. Redeemer, hail. Lord, we praise you for Jesus. We praise you for the life we have in him. We praise you for the hope that's given through him. And we praise you for the joy and peace that comes even through the darkness, even through the gloom. We thank you that your presence is near us every day and every moment of every day. Jesus, you are alive and we live for you. You will reign and all will bow before you. Help us in our lives to yield to you freely and fully now, that we might live for your praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. we're going to take up our offering. As part of our worship, if you're a visitor, there's no compulsion. But God loves a cheerful giver. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you that on this Resurrection Sunday, we can rejoice in all that Jesus has done for us by dying and rising. And we thank you that we can share in your work. And Lord, we can know your resurrection as a foretaste of the things that are yet to come. If we die with him, we shall live for him and with him. Lord, extend your kingdom of love in Jesus' name. Amen. He's preaching this morning, did you know? If I can ask the youngsters just to linger a little while longer, we're going to receive into membership a lovely, lovely couple that have been worshipping with us, well, for probably getting on for 18 months now, 2 years. Ray and Barbara Pearson, I don't know who followed who. Did I follow you down to this neck of the woods? I did, didn't I? Ray and Barbara were members of the church that I worshipped at some years ago with my family, Warren Road Ealing Church in King's Landing. And you were members there for how long? 27 years. So what I know to be true of Ray and Barbara is that they are faithful in the Lord's service, faithful and committed in membership of his church. And for them to come from a Ealing Pentecostal church, glory, hallelujah, to a Baptist church, took a little bit of adjusting, didn't it?
A lot.
But you feel very much at home now, is that true? Yes. And just for today, you've moved right the way forward. So we've done a swap with some of the folks who have moved to the back to give you space. And it's lovely to see members of your family and friends and some old ragamuffins from King's Standing.
From Ealing.
I don't know, they got this strange idea that they like me for some reason. So I wonder whether the deacons who are here this morning would join Ray and Barbara with me at the front, and we're going to pray a blessing. Father God, we thank you for Ray and Barbara. We thank you for the encouragement of their life and their witness. We thank you for their hospitality. We thank you for their eagerness to serve. And we thank you, Lord, for the ways in which you're opening up opportunities for them to feel very much an active part of the fellowship here and your mission here in this area. Lord, we are especially mindful of the days that lie ahead. And we do pray that your peace would be upon Ray and Barbara as Barbara prepares and anticipates surgery. We pray that you would envelop them in your love, and that your love toward them would be tender and strong, and that they would prove by experience yet again that you are a great God, faithful to every promise you've made, and loving them without any end. Father, send your spirit upon them. Breathe joy and peace as they trust you. And let them feel nestled into your embrace and protected by the shadow of your wing. As we lay hands upon you, Barbara, we release the well-being of the Lord Jesus into your heart and soul and mind and body. Lord Jesus, live and reign in and through Ray and Barbara. And we welcome them here in Jesus' name. Amen. We give you the right hand of fellowship and say, it's great to have you with us. The Lord bless you and keep you. And maybe let's share in a greeting. And so now our youngsters can go off to their classes and have some fun. Only the very little ones. Provision has been made available for creche and for the little ones. Is it me or is it warm in here? Do you mind if I take my jacket off? You'll have to forgive me if my voice gives out a little bit. Last week I was suffering with tonsillitis. I should have put on the back. Oh. We've read from two passages. One, a letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians. And it would be worth your study to go back and read the whole of 1 Corinthians 15. Because it's 58 verses of Paul teaching about the resurrection of Jesus and about the implications of that resurrection for us who believe. And then we had a gospel reading from Luke. And each of the gospel writers testify to the resurrection. If you look at 1 Corinthians and the first few verses of that passage, you'll notice that Paul emphasizes the testimony of the Lord Jesus appearing to people, of showing himself alive. And on one occasion, that stretches to more than 500 people. On one occasion. So there's one tradition, or one stream of teaching that emphasizes the appearances of Jesus. And Paul can say, this testimony about Christ crucified and risen, it's credible because in his day there were people who were still alive who could say, I saw Jesus alive. The gospel writers, starting with Mark and then flowing with Matthew and Luke and then later John, certainly Mark emphasizes the empty tomb, the folded grave clothes. Do you notice that in the reading from Luke, there is as yet no encounter with the risen Jesus? Did you notice that? For all the things that we could say were amazing, the disciples at that point, according to Luke, have not yet met the risen Jesus. That's significant. Because Luke takes his time. And if you journey with Luke through Luke 24, you'll see that this first 12 verses is immediately followed by this wonderful, enigmatic story of the disciples journeying out that same night from Jerusalem on the road to where? And did they recognize the traveler that was with them immediately? No. And then at the end of that story, we then have another recollection that Luke compiles, again of the 11 with the women. So it's rather like a sandwich, the first 12 verses. The women go to the tomb, and then they go to the apostles. Then we have the Emmaus Road and this journey of discovery, of progressively discerning more and more about the person and work of Jesus and the fulfillment of Scripture. And at what point in that story do they recognize who is with them? In the breaking of bread. And then there's this further recollection of the 11 with the women. And it's then that the 11 truly cotton on to who Jesus is, alive from the grave. Do you know, for each of us, our journey of faith has stage marks, stage posts. It has, if you like, moments where we get a further glimpse of who Jesus is. We're not all blessed like the Apostle Paul to have in his case, a Damascus Road experience where he's physically knocked off his high horse and in the dust of the earth, he's physically blinded having seen the glory of the risen Jesus. For most of us, our journey of faith and encounter and discovery is perhaps less dramatic, but nevertheless still meaningful. Are you on a journey with Jesus? Are you trying to make sense of life in the light of the resurrection? Are you trying to take seriously the claims of Jesus upon your life? But are you also honest enough with me to say it doesn't always make sense fully? Maybe your path still has the markers that speak of suffering, the cords that speak of mystery. There is a sense in which your life has the bitter and the sweet. It carries both the sense of joy and of sorrow, the sense of struggle and of hope. Well, the gospel writers stand with you in that journey. They stand as witnesses to help you on your journey. And there is a patience in the heart of God that says, if you are willing to step out and take that first step, journey with me, because I will cause you to see, says the Lord, the glory of Jesus by the power of the Spirit. What did these women see? Actually, just pause a moment. Who went to the tomb? The women. Now, it's been suggested that the gospel writers, well, they were writing a generation back from the events of Easter, and they were able to tell the story and to iron out the differences and to make it credible. What utter nonsense. Luke, with the other gospel writers, tells it as it is. And if Luke wanted credible witness testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, he first of all would have ironed out, airbrushed out, women. Because in Jewish culture in that day, a woman's testimony was not worth the paper it was written on. So Luke is not trying to fabricate the story. He's telling us exactly what happened. The eyewitness account that he has received, he's saying the women went. And you can choose to believe it or not. But the testimony is there of two or three or four women. You see, Luke is passionate about breaking the boundaries, about crossing the boundaries, about laying a sword at the prejudices and the constraints of the society and the culture that was not honouring God. And so he is not ashamed to say it was the women who went to the tomb, and the women who first bore testimony to Jesus alive. And Luke furthermore tells us, well, when the women went to the men, what did they say? You're out of your, ridiculous. Any good words that you could use in this moment? Nonsense. You must be joking. You need to go back to bed. You've had no sleep. You've got a fuddled head. They simply did not believe the women. But these women went to the tomb. Did they meet Jesus in that first instance? Now, we've identified some things that were amazing. What things were amazing? The stone was rolled away. Anything else? Jesus had made his bed that morning. They were folded. Are you listening, Stephen? Folded. Anything else? No body. Those three things, do you get the impression from the reading that the women said, Jesus is alive? You don't, do you? They did not go, "Way! He's alive! He said it!" They don't get it, do they? What have they carried with them? What are they seeking to do? They're taking spices and perfumes to honour the dead body of Jesus by anointing him and caring for him even after death in his burial. And this has completely thrown them. There's another amazing thing that happened. They did encounter somebody or two people. Who did they encounter? Somebody said angels. See, Luke just steps back. There's no doubt they are angels. But Luke just leaves it hanging. He says, two men wearing, whose apparel was gleaming. And the women's response to this, what does it say? They were frightened and bowed down. To say they were frightened is an understatement. They were terrified. They were petrified. It's as though they were so scared that the weight and the strength went from their feet and they literally collapsed. Have they got the message now? They still have not made sense of it. Now, what do these angelic beings say? What do they say? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? And they go on and say, he is not here, he has risen. What does it then say?
Remember, he told you, while he was still with you in the garden, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.
These guys said, remember what he told you. And then what's the women's response to that statement? What do they say? Or what does it say about the women? They remembered. They still have not seen the risen Jesus. They have not fully made sense of what's going on. But the penny begins to drop when they hear the testimony, the reminder of what Jesus has said. That is what makes the beginning of the difference. The word that Jesus has said to you is the word that can transform your life, if only you would know it. These angelic beings said, remember what Jesus said, fulfilling the scriptures. What he promised about dying and rising. And it says the women remembered. That was the moment. Oh, how we would love to have this kind of Shekinah moment where we are intensely in the presence of God and we see Jesus and we fall at his feet in worship and wonder and abandonment and awe. But actually these women fell at his feet frightened. And the reassurance came from the simplicity of a simple word of reminder. And out of that word, with the evidence, empty tomb, folded grave clothes, stone rolled away, those wonders didn't actually make much difference. But the word of reminder of what Jesus said by the Spirit quickened something. Some of us need to stop craving a mountaintop experience and simply receive the word of the living God through Jesus. Because it is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. These women had the clues to the risen Christ. They would yet meet him. One of them would meet him very specially, Mary Magdala. And out of that encounter, he would turn her life right around. The one who had been forgiven and just knew how much God loved her would now learn not to cling on to him in an earthly sense, but to follow him as his witness that he is risen and ascended. Do you in your life have glimpses of glory? Do you in your life have what we call the rumours of angels? Do you have those little moments where you don't see face to face the Lord, but you know he's there? You know he's near. You know he's speaking to you. You know that his presence means light in your life. You know that his presence means love fills your heart. You know that his presence means the future is unveiled with promise, not trepidation. You see, we live by faith, not by sight. And these women are models for our discipleship. Oh, that we would have this wonderful encounter where Jesus, that day awaits us. But this day is a day of grace by which we walk by faith. And we hear the promise of Jesus. We remember it and we are turned around by it. They went to the 12, well, the 11, didn't they? And got a big raspberry. The 11 would need the testimony of Clopas, probably her husband, and those on the road to Emmaus who encountered Jesus. They don't see him at first, do they? Even though he's walking with them, they don't see him at first. Because they've got dust and tears in their eyes, and their heads are downcast, and they're tired. They've had enough. They're going back to what they regard as familiar and safe. But out of their brokenness, out of their dashed hopes, they are invited to linger with this unknown companion. He would go further, but they invite him. They stay. He's their guest at table, and he breaks bread, and they recognize him. And out of that encounter, they're turned around, and they run back to Jerusalem, empowered and envisioned. And they go and tell the 11. And then the 11 encounter Jesus. I don't know where you are at on your journey with Jesus. Maybe you're at the point where you simply need to be reminded. I can hear a parent, not one of my parents, but you know when your parent says to you, "I told you so." Because we're forgetful, aren't we? But actually Jesus, in the most loving and compassionate voice you can imagine, says, "I told you so. I would suffer and die, but on the third day rise. I told you so. I show you so. And I will meet you." How many of you have listened week by week, month by month, year by year, to the scriptures read in church? Is it not now time to hear it for yourself? Is it not now time to have the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. It is near you. It is yours for the taking. I'm glad that the gospel writer here doesn't dive straight in with Jesus standing on the Temple Mount saying, "I'm alive!" Or Jesus supernaturally appearing before Pilate and saying, "Why are you wavering?" See, the way of the Lord isn't by military might, isn't by determining what's right, isn't by humiliating the people that have humiliated you. It's by the way of servanthood and humiliation and sacrifice. Jesus didn't go around saying, "Will he wash your feet this morning with the water of the word? Will he let him? Will you let him encounter you in your reality? Not pretense." Because these women came and they were bewildered. They were disorientated. They were shocked. They were terrified. What emotion, what word would captivate and capture the sense of your life at this moment? Oh, that we would all say, "Amazing," but we can't, can we? What's the word that comes to your mind? Jesus wants to meet you there. In your Emmaus brokenness, in your desolation, in your confusion, in your work pressure, in your domestic strife. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us the grace to hear, as if for the first time, what comes as a reminder. He was nailed to a cross, but 3 days later he rose. And that was for our sins to be forgiven and for justification through his life. Lord, make us to be like Peter, who out of the 11 was the one who got up and ran to the tomb. Give us grace for the times when we just wonder. We're not certain, we're not sure, we just wonder. And weave our lives together, Lord, in a way that we can look back and see your hand at work, see your providential care, see your timing was perfect, see your ways are always just. Help us, Lord, like the Emmaus disciples, to tell you how we really feel, that we might meet you even in our brokenness. Lord God, in these quiet moments, on this Resurrection Sunday, sow the seeds of your word into our hearts, Lord, that out of the broken and ploughed ground, new life, new hope, new direction, renewed certainty would come. We offer ourselves, our hearing and our seeing, our living and our worshipping, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond in song. with a couple of songs led by our worship team. just pause a moment in God's presence. Let the Holy Spirit remind you of a word that he might have spoken to you in days past, that is needful for fresh reception and application now. Has he not said to you, I will never leave you nor forsake you? What can man do to me? I will not be afraid, but I will trust in the living God. Has he not said to you, I, the Lord your God, am your light and your salvation? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead gives life to our mortal bodies. Let wave after wave of the Holy Spirit's power come. Come, Holy Spirit. Maybe for you it's like a prodigal. And as we sang one of those songs, when we were afar off, the love of God came further. When we were deep in sin, the grace of God goes deeper. Maybe all you need this morning is a Father's embrace, his unconditional acceptance. His whisper in your ear, you are my daughter, you are my son, whom I love. Maybe for you this morning, that's the first time you know it to be true. We are God's precious people. I love you. Do not fear. I am with you. We are privileged to have babes in arms here whose cry is simple, without restraint. And we love to hear that sound because it reminds us that from life's first breath, right through our laying of the head on the pillow, on our last day, God's love commands our destiny. Lord, we remember those who are not here, for whom we long that your touch would be upon their lives. We remember David Davis. And we pray that he would experience a breath from heaven, filling his lungs, filling that room as we speak, with your light and life. Lord, we remember others for whom there is sorrow at this moment. We think of Pam and Paul as they grieve Pam's mum's passing. Give them an abiding sense of your peace. We think of Deanne McBride, whose very best friend Hazel passed away this week. We pray that you will be with her husband Harold. Hazel trusted you. We pray that you will bring Harold to that place where he too trusts you and knows you as his Lord and Saviour. We pray for those who are battling illness. We pray for Bobby's mum. Keep her strong in faith. Keep her strong in your promise. And put your hand upon her and breathe well-being by your Spirit, we pray. Lord, knit our hearts together, that we might walk as a company of disciples, that we might walk lives that are guided by your Spirit, strengthened by your word, equipped in your service. Surprise us this Easter tide with resurrection hope, resurrection joy. resurrection peace. Lord, I remember Ron, and I pray for Annie and Ron. And Lord, where Ron is in his hospital bed, begin to cause a recovery of all that's been robbed because of this stroke. Let that man know resurrection life and health. And may he marvel at the healing that flows. May he, in days to come, have a testimony of your goodness in his life. Be the one that lifts up Annie's chin. Be her glory. Be her helper. In Jesus' name. And maybe there are others that you know of and you'd like to just name them before God now. I lift before you Alan and Rose Hitchman, and I pray that you continue to strengthen Alan in his physical frame. Breathe your spirit and give him refreshment and renewed energy. In Jesus' name.
I'll bring our friend. I bring our friend Ken Turley, Lord. With terminal cancer. We trust in you for healing in your body. For me, our son in law, who goes back down to town tomorrow. I bring my arms before you. He still grieves for a son that she lost 5 years ago.
Yes, Lord. Bring Sylvia Christian before you. And Jean Lockhart. Let's gather all of our prayers, spoken and unspoken, as we join together in the family prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we continue as we sing our closing song, which picks up on that sentiment, Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Let's get those banners out again and let's celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Saviour. Amen. little girl in my first church was sitting at the back of the meeting, and I thought she was not taking a single word in. She was making far, far too much noise, and she was rattling around with her crayons and her pencils and her paper. And I was thinking... And at the end of the meeting, she came up to me, and she cut a pretty border with scissors, and she'd put various colours to frame what she'd written. And there were various kind of Lowry pictures. Do you know the sort? Yeah. And the first line said, Jesus is alive. Second line said, he lives in you. Third line says, he loves you and cares about you. And it went from three crosses to an empty tomb. And I thought, yes. From the lips of babes and infants. Jesus is
alive.
He loves
you.
He lives in
me.
And if that is not true, come and seek prayer, because the Spirit of God can fill you this morning with joy and peace. Let's close with a blessing. Lord Jesus, meet us in your risen life. Journey with us from brokenness to beauty, and transform our doubts and our fears. Dispel the fears with your perfect love, and transform our doubts into a journey of faith and trust, that we will continue to grow in the knowledge of our God and Saviour Jesus. Send your Spirit, breathe peace upon us, and let your love protect us this day and every day. And all God's people said.